Bad Motivators.
Shit. Yes.
What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 204 of the Bad Motivators. I, of course, am Eric Strahlers, and with me, as always, are my two excellent co-hosts, one Mr. Luke Cruiser.
Hey there.
And one Mr. Dallas Wood.
Arrest the president. You got the evidence. That bitch is Russian intelligence. When it rains and pours. Did you know the new white was orange?
Oh, God. What was this created?
Ice Cube. Arrest the president. He literally has a song called Arrest the President.
Is it
That's
a new
the
one?
Main lyric in it. Yeah, it came out like last year, end of last year. 2019, end of 2019, correction.
Wow. Well done, Cube.
Yes, it's quite the song. If you read the lyrics, it's quite intelligent. Classic Cube.
This episode brought to you by Sunbeam, makers of the finest saltines. Cracker Wrap.
No, I like Nabisco. To be honest,
Nabisco
I'm like,
does
Sunbeam,
make a
Sunbeam, and then I'm like, oh yeah,
saltines. Nabisco does make a fine cracker.
They do,
and so do Dallas's parents.
You beat me to it.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Well, lads, boy, oh boy, what crazy times we live in. I know everybody's thinking, here come the motivators giving us their hot takes. Well, you're going to be shocked by what I have to say. I'm not going to say anything. You got eyes, you got ears.
All right.
If you're not thinking what I'm thinking, then we're never going to think the same anyway. So
there you go.
But you know what? First of all, how's everybody doing? I got to tell you real quick, man. I just celebrated my 11-year wedding anniversary with Amanda. And
wow. Yay.
So, yeah, I've been married to her longer than I was married to both my wives before combined. And
nice. You
know what? It was great, man. Some friends kept the kids overnight. We watched movies with the closed captions off. And it was pretty neat. Yeah. We watched Suicide Squad. We'll never watch it again.
Nice.
It's
why would you ruin date night like that?
Well, you know, it's like you got Margot Robbie. But dude,
that's the only good part of the whole movie.
You should have watched Birds of Prey instead.
Yeah, Birds of Prey, way better.
That movie could not decide what it wanted to be. That was its problem. Right. It's like they kept changing their mind about what it was about halfway through. You know what? Let's make it about this.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Well, Let's make this.
The director and writer, he's on the record as saying he let the executives get to him.
Yeah.
And like totally strayed away from his original vision for the film and everything.
Yeah.
And so with James Gunn doing a new Suicide Squad, you know they didn't fuck with him. He just said, "You want me to do a DC movie? Just shut the fuck up. I'm going to do what I want."
Yeah.
That's basically what he said on record.
I mean, DC kind of forced Marvel's hand, really. You know what I mean? Like for bringing them back, they're like, "Well, like I guess our star here is going to go do some DC stuff. I guess we better make nice, you know." But anyways, that Suicide Squad movie, like I really liked like the first like 25-30 minutes of it, and then you know like with all their introductions and stuff, I thought that was pretty cool. But then it just like derails.
Oh, yeah. When they go on the mission to stop the weird Aztec doll lady or whatever.
Insert big guy with lightning powers here.
Yeah. Hey, here's this lady with a unibrow that's fucking crazy.
Dude.
But you guys had a good time, though?
It was good, man. It was good. I don't know. It was just nice. I love my wife. She rules, and it was great. So, anyway, what's going on with you guys? Anything cool? Anything great?
I got to watch Tenet the other day. It's really, really good. It's definitely one of those movies where you got to like really fucking pay attention for a long time, and doesn't really all start. Doesn't really come together till like 2/3 of the way through. But it's good. I liked it a lot. And just been gaming it, trying not to pay an excessive amount of attention to the news. That's what I'm trying not to do, but I can't help it because crazy shit's going down. I mean, beyond crazy shit, obviously. But yeah, I don't know. Besides that, I mean, the kids back in school, everything's going fine there. Max is kind of, he's I don't know if your kids go through this, but my son tries to come with every excuse and reason why he shouldn't be back in school, like all the time. Like he's just always just like, I'm scared. I'm like, no, you're not. He uses the I'm scared out of everything. Like if something doesn't want to do, I'm scared.
Oh, gotcha.
That's scary. I'm like, no, it's not. You come out smiling, you go to school. It's just when you realize you have to leave all your toys and your video games and stuff and go back to somewhere where they don't allow you to have those things. You're like, oh no, you know, but but yeah, everything is, I'm scared. And I told him about the story of the boy who cried wolf. He was like, where's this wolf? He's like, where's this wolf? I'm like, no, it's a metaphor. Some metal what? A metal wolf? Like,
metal wolf.
Metal wolf.
And I explained it to him. He's like, oh, I'm like, so can't say you're scared all the time when you're not actually. But, you know, kids, how that goes.
Well, did he tell you that, like, I'm not going back? Why? Well, because all the children got pink eye while their Harry Potter books were burned.
I love that. Oh, my God.
All the Harry Potter books were burned.
God, love that. I said again, that's one of the most underrated Will Ferrell movies ever.
Five British soldiers had their way with her. It was consensual.
It was consensual.
Dude, we watched that too. I had never seen it before, and I've been dying to like throw some quotes from it at you.
How have you not seen that?
That's what started the Michael Keaton renaissance. Yeah. Dude,
yeah. It was very good. I really.
What, you've never done a desk pop before?
I mean, I had seen the commercials and whatnot, but I just never saw the movie. The other guy
gives him that wood gun.
God, let me fly. What about the Star Wars reference? Remember in the other when the Death Star blew up? That was bullshit. And they just flew away.
It was good.
Don't you dare attack Star Wars. That was all accurate.
It was good. I enjoyed it thoroughly. It was dumb as can be, but it was good. And
when they're in that dude's office doing the good, bad cop routine, it turns out to be the whole bad cop, bad cop.
My wife is cute.
They end up going
She's
to Knicks
hot.
Games and shit. They go on Broadway. Damn it, he got us again. When they see Jersey Boys.
The cucumber accents the water. It's just...
Dude, Eva Mendes being Will Ferrell's wife was so good.
Yeah.
And he's like, just putting her down.
Yeah. My wife is cute. She's not hot.
Look at her. She looks trashy.
This is how you're going
to
dress.
She's all done up to the nines. Oh, dude, the Prius jokes for me. Dude, the Prius jokes for me.
You were a
pimp. When they get the car stolen and they go back to pick it up and they're like, well, they left a note. Well, thanks for the F-Shack. Signed, Dirty Mike and the Boys. This is what they call
it. And it seems a few hours later, a mother raccoon gave birth in the back of your...
Shot the placenta back up on the back window.
It was quite good, man. I rather enjoyed it.
Yeah. All right. We're not
going to record. Oh, my.
Man.
What's funny is they got The Rock and Sam Jackson at the very beginning, and they kill them in the beginning of the movie. And you're just like, holy shit. Like, who does that? And it still is an awesome movie.
I just love that they got to play, like, all the action hero tropes in the beginning, and they just, like,
did. Yes.
I mean, all movies they've been a part of before, you know what I mean? Kind of shit like that. And they just, like, aim for the bushes.
Dude, perfect song choice when they're about to jump off that building and they play, like, There Goes My Hero by the Foo Fighters. Yeah. Fuck, man, so good.
God, that movie is one of my favorite Will Ferrell movies. It's a very
hands down.
A very, very underrated movie in overall.
Did you shout America? America.
Dude, the whole thing about the lion.
the tuna.
But the way he ends the whole thing with, that didn't go the way you thought it was going to go, did you? It's like, good Lord. Or the story where he talks about how he audited his parents.
Oh yeah, dude. Oh,
believe me, there were some discrepancies.
Oh, dude. I love the quiet fighting at the wake.
Oh my God. Yeah, they're trying to be quiet. They're having this whole fucking brawl. Michael Keaton, so good. And his part-time job's at Bed Bath & Beyond.
Dude, okay. The one thing that I thought was so super random is when the character David Urshan, he asked the guy, he's like, Douglas, how's the wife? She died. Attaboy.
I forgot about that.
Anyway, welcome to the Other Guys podcast.
I'm glad you liked it, man.
I did. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was really cute. I love the improvisational nature of a lot of the scenes. It's quite well done. Oh, yeah. But anyhow. So,
the TLC references, by the way. We can't. The fucking TLC references are the best.
That was pretty good.
Don't go chasing waterfalls.
You're kidding me, right? With this. Hey, speaking of that, you saw Tenet, okay?
Yeah.
We got a thing. And now, mind you, I am quite aware that this flies in the face of protocol for the bad motivators. But we got a voicemail. For some friends of ours. And this, I just want to sizzle this. Luke and Dallas and Luke, if you will, are going to be on the Sith list this week. So how about them apples?
There you go.
But that all ties together with this. So let's just see what this thing is all about.
Now I'm worried.
Hey there, bad motivators. This is Raj and King Tom from the Sith list.
Hey, bad motivators. It's been a while.
It has been a while. And we wanted to congratulate you on your 200th episode.
Whoa, wait.
Raj. What's going on?
That was like 2 or 3 weeks ago.
They're 200th?
Yeah.
This is the show with the guy with the long hair.
Doesn't listen to his own podcast.
Yeah, that's true. Struthers like brothers. I think that's what he always tells me how to pronounce it. And the guy that smokes a lot of weed. And the other guy that's normal, but he pretends to like Star Wars only because his name is Luke.
He doesn't like anything that's coming out.
Right. Okay. So let me try this again. Okay. Here we go. Hey there, bad motivators. This is Raj and King. Wait a minute. Why are we leaving them a voicemail then?
That's a good. You should feel bad that you missed their 200. I myself sent something in. Yeah. So I think you have to find a way to make it up.
Okay. Here we go again. Hey there, bad motivators. Congratulations on that 200th a while ago. Yay. Wanted to see if you guys wanted to come on the Sith list. I think that's where we're going to go with King Tom.
I think that's a good idea.
Okay. I wanted to see if you wanted to come on the Sith list and let's just have a little party this week on our episode and we'll have a good time, I guess. We'll celebrate your 200th.
That made me go from 6 to 12.
There it is. Well, there you go, bad motivators. We'll see you this week on the Sith list. Can't wait.
See you around, kids.
Okay. So
that was so on brand for both of them.
I've got several things I want to say here. Number one, Araj, you know how to pronounce my last name. It does not rhyme with brothers. It's easy to remember because it rhymes with bothers, much like how I bother everyone. Number two. When people ask, number two, the way those multiple takes of him trying to get going, that is literally how the Sith list is recorded. Mm-hmm. And he edits it allegedly into a decent show every week. I don't listen to the crap. He always asks me if I listen to it. I'm like, no, I was on it. You know how at the end of Pee-wee's Big Adventure, when he's at the movie that was made about his life?
Yeah.
And they ask him if he's going to stick around for the movie, and he said he doesn't have to because he lived it. That's me.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. But third, anytime somebody asks me, hey, bad motivators, well, they don't call me bad motivators, but they ask us, hey, bad motivators, why don't you guys play voicemails on the regular anymore? Exhibit A.
I was gonna say while that was going on, hey, I recall this is why we don't do voicemails anymore.
So I would say thank you for sending that in, but I wouldn't mean it, so I won't. But why?
Hey, Raj, as the guy who smokes a lot of weed, that's accurate.
I assumed he was talking about me.
Yeah, he'd have to deal with us.
Right?
I'm kind of insulted. Y'all think he's
sober, but he's not.
I don't mind that you call me a fake Star Wars fan. That's fine. But like normal, come on, man.
If normal is not having a job and laying around all damn day, then I guess that is you to a T. Yes,
that's me. Bingo. Laying around all day.
But hey, you know what? You know what we should talk about? Eating that's going to be wild and crazy. It's this. It's this noise right here. Oh, yeah. And who wants to be the who that tells the what?
I got nothing.
Dallas gets
me
to go.
Me too. Bagel.
You got, oh.
Hey, wow. There, bad motivators. This is a
what's
Raj
going on here?
King Thompson.
Sorry.
We got more Raj. That's what apparently.
I got. My bad. I got a voicemail from Mirage.
I got to edit that. Sorry about that. So I actually got something. What a switch.
Oh, nice.
What a twist. What I got was the vintage collection, so the 3 3/4 inch Mando in full Beskar.
Oh,
at least I think that's what it is. I opened the box and there it was, I think.
You're like, there's another
so obviously one. It meant a lot to me. It was a figure I'd been chasing after since whenever I pre-ordered it and forgot about it. And there you go.
Another
pleasant surprise, though. I always felt like when those pre-orders would show up and you forgot about them.
Yeah, as long as you had the money to cover it when it showed up, then.
But, correct.
Like, I was kind of strongly hinting around that I would like to get one of those 6-inch Black Series Jar Jars if Amanda saw one at Target, and they did not have one.
Missed my chance to get one.
But what they did have, of course, you can get them from Amazon.
Amazon.
Yeah.
But what they did have was another headset for my Xbox, so now I can have one downstairs and upstairs should Henry and I decide to play some Battlefront together at the same time. But what I have been doing with this headset is playing Red Dead Redemption online with my buddy, Tracy Moon.
That's surprising.
And I, oh, okay, smartass.
I'm shocked.
Here's the deal. Let me tell you something about playing Red Dead online with Tracy. He's a monster.
Does he murder people like me?
He is... Okay, here's the deal. If you're going to play Red Dead online and you need somebody to play with you, Tracy Moon is your guy. First of all, all joke aside, he's just a genuinely good dude, okay? He really is. He's a lot of fun. But here's the thing. He is crazy good at this game, and he puts up with zero crap from anybody. He's not a griefer. Like, he doesn't go in and, like, just try to cause trouble. We're just there to play and have a good time. But here we are in this town, and if you're familiar with Red Dead Online at all, let me just paint you a picture. There we are in Armadillo, down in the dirty south, running around. Some guy shoots me. His name has the word elite in it because they're part of some posse, the elite something. Tracy's like, what happened?
Noise.
I said, I just got shot. By who? I said, Elite Dylan. He goes, well, wait a minute. Here's Elite calling. Oh, he's getting ready to shoot me. Tracy destroys these guys, right? And then they keep trying to come after us. He just keeps putting them down over and over again, will not let up. And so they finally have had enough, and they press charges against us, which even though they started this, right? So he chases them. They're trying to get away. He just chases them down, kills a guy, throws the guy on the back of his own horse. So that when he respawns, he comes to his horse and finds his own dead ass hanging off of it. And then when the guy's trying to climb on his horse, he kills the guy's horse and then kills the guy again. And just like, dude, he's a monster.
You shot my friend.
I'm in love with Tracy Moon. Tracy, reach out to me on Twitter. I want to play with you, sir.
You
can go on a murdering spree.
He's a cool dude too. Anyway, so yeah.
I have a quick question about that Red Dead Online.
Go on.
Is it crossplay?
No, unfortunately. Yeah.
Oh, it's not? No. So if you're playing on a PlayStation versus Xbox? Are you on an Xbox?
I'm pretty sure it's not because like every player I see, you can like view their gamer card and message them on Xbox Live.
Oh, so we couldn't play together because I'm on PS4.
Right.
Damn.
But Cruiser.
Oh, well.
You could play with them. Get Red Dead Online. Just the online component only. It was running for $5.
No shit?
Yeah.
You want to run some posse stuff? I'm not so sure. I'm ready for that kind of shenanigans.
Dude,
I'm down if I had an Xbox.
It's a freaking blast. It is so fun. Anyhow, yeah, it's a good time. So, past all that, here's what would be great. It would be great if we had a game that was like Red Dead Online, or especially the story mode, where it's semi-open world. Mm-hmm. It's like Red Dead Online's very open world, but the story mode of Red Dead is pretty open world too, because you don't have to do, you don't have to do the things all in order.
Yeah.
Which is nice. And what you do will affect the outcome of certain things, which is also nice. If they had something like that for Star Wars. And speaking of Star Wars and games, there is some news, some not much news, but it is news nonetheless. And is this. They have changed their name from LucasArts?
I think originally. And then they did away with it altogether.
So, yeah. So how about them apples?
Yeah. And now it's Lucasfilm.
Lucasfilm Games, yeah, I think.
Yeah.
And the entire commercial is nothing but games that have already come out. And nothing, except for the Lego Skywalker Saga. It did show that isn't out yet, but it will be any second. So
tomorrow.
Yeah. In March, I think. So, I mean, I guess that's something, right?
It's something. I mean, realistically, if they make a game that is like, you know, Knights of the Old Republic, like back in the day, except maybe a little less turn-based and more just like, you know, go at it, but open world like that, I mean, how does that not sell millions and millions of copies?
Dude, a bounty hunter open world game.
No, you could be a Jedi, a bounty hunter. You can be,
okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like you could choose your freaking path. You know what I mean? Like
the scope would be so huge. I mean, they'd have to incorporate how they did Fallen Order a little bit. Like you can only go to so much of the planet you're going to.
They pulled off with Mass Effect fucking 10, 15 years ago.
What I really like think in my head. That's the best way to model it after. Yeah.
The only thing you would have, the only thing that would cause any kind of grief at all, I guess, would be the lightsaber play. But I mean, they have all of it for Fallen Order ready to go. You just plug it into the system and modify it a little bit, you know?
Boom.
I mean, but I got a feeling it's gonna be. I got a feeling if you had the option, there'd be a whole lot of Jedi. So they might have to.
Yeah.
They might have to. They might have to maybe subdue the powers of, you know, like not make them so OP, you know, so they can, so bounty hunters stand a chance against them and shit like that, you know. But I don't know. I think having the option to go that way would be cool.
I guess like if you're gonna do an open world, it's better to do either or. And what I mean by that is, do a High Republic era one or do a post Return of the Jedi, like Mandalorian era bounty hunter open world game, either or, because I just think it'd be easier to pull off.
They could literally just make an open world Mandalorian game about Din Djarin, like before the events.
There you go.
Like, why? I mean, he's obviously been all over the fucking place. He speaks to like 30 different people, no problem. You know what I mean? Like.
Well, and he's clearly good at what he does. Yeah. And let's play that part of his life.
You get to fly the now RIP'd Razor Crest everywhere. That'd be freaking awesome.
Right. I still feel like he's going to show up to some, like, he's going to show up to Tatooine and Watto's like cousin is going to sell him a Razor Crest.
he can only find, like, he's missing like a rear flap that you can't find anymore, and only Watto's has it or something.
I need something more real. When he says, I got new Republic credits,
he's like charge him like 12 times the cost because you won't find it anywhere else. I tell you that much.
Okay, I want this to happen now. We're talking about this. I want this to happen. Let's shut up because it won't.
Yeah, I just think it'd be cool, man. I mean, you could even make it. They're probably going to want to do it where it's like, I guess this turns into less of a open world platform if you do this way. But like, if you had like a story mode where you like had to be, where you had to basically grow up with Den to where he would, to where like the point where he became like, you have a bit of a prologue, or I mean an epilogue, yeah, prologue where you can kind of see what it was like for him growing up and becoming a Mandalorian. That could be cool. But I don't know, man. I think something that could be awesome, but also just the ability to create your own character and stuff like that. That's really what people want to be able to do.
Yeah. So, well, the other era timeline wise for Star Wars, if you're going to do this open world stuff, would be like, hey, you get to pick between Lando or Han and their smugglers, or you can be Boba Fett, or you can be like IG-88 and do bounty hunting. Like you have the option to smuggle, or, and it's pre A New Hope, post Rogue One era. That's the other thing I could see happening.
Yeah, without getting too far into the High Republic, I think the High Republic would be a good setting for the open world. Just given, like, because there wouldn't necessarily be like a
well, you're not tied down to anything.
Yeah, there wouldn't be necessarily be like a big bad you're fighting against. You're really just trying to like wrangle up all these people out in the Outer Rim and everywhere else, and you know where things raise up, or where Jedi are needed, you know, basically how they were setting it up in the book, you know.
Yeah, like they're cops.
Yeah, you know, I would say less cops. They're just more like, I don't know, peacekeepers, a little bit different.
But you know what I mean? Yeah. Like if you're playing one of these Jedi, you have the freedom to choose to take on bounties or whatever, like you would call them, you know, like, hey, I'm going to this task to quell this problem on this planet. Yeah. Or you can just kind of go around and trouble finds you. You know, you could do either or. Well, that would be cool.
Well, like as well with Red Dead, because Red Dead has that whole thing where you can, you're like, where you be good or bad, like where you try to keep your moral code intact or whatever, basically. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah. So like the Jedi are constantly struggling with that, right? Like trying to to not go over step bounds, go to the dark side, have to like not, that'd be, that they could incorporate that in there too, I think, if they really work on it.
I think so too. Yeah. That'd be cool.
I mean, the fact is Star Wars open world is a fucking limitless opportunity. And I mean, if they just gave us like, you know, like, I don't know, at least like 10 planets you could travel to and do a few different missions and have one big planet where most of the stuff goes on. I mean, or a space or a big ship or a paddle station or something. That'd be cool. I don't know. They could do a lot.
I think it's a foregone conclusion that type of game, whatever era it was set in, would be a big seller if you're using Star Wars to back the story. Because it just works. It just hand in hand, based on KOTOR and how it's still popular to this day. Yeah. I mean, I've even played that game on my iPad recently.
What if it was more like those Batman games from Rocksteady? I mean, Eric, you recently played those, right?
Yeah, I played
Arkham Asylum.
Arkham Knight.
Arkham Knight, yeah.
Dude, it's so
good. No, you played Arkham City. Didn't you?
No, Arkham Knight.
Okay.
Knight.
Yeah,
Knight. It is super rad. I would love to have another game like that. As a matter of fact, I just loaned it to a buddy of mine because I bought the Arkham collection, which included that game in it. So I gave him my disc version so that he could play it. It is.
Imagine that game, Clone Wars era, you're at the Jedi, Coruscant. Awesome.
Oh, that'd be cool. Yeah. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah. So, yeah. Anyways, people were wondering if this means that EA's done. I don't think so. I'm pretty sure EA still has a contract with Star Wars for at least a few more years. And
I think it's until next year. Hang on, keep talking, and I'll look it up.
I think they re-upped it a couple years ago.
I could be wrong. I'm thinking this is like them moving forward with their own stuff. Like if they have any contracts with EA, once they expire, they won't renew. And this will just be their workshop, like it was back in the day, honestly. Which, if you've been around as long as the three of us have, you remember some terrible LucasArts games and some amazing LucasArts games.
Yeah. They had a 10 year deal with Disney Studios or Lucasfilm Animation or whatever it is. EA released its first Star Wars game under Disney brand. Their contract is set to expire on April 14th, 2024.
So 3 years from April.
Yeah.
So what I'm looking at right here says Disney cut a deal with EA in 2010 years, expires 2023, regardless. It's somewhere in there.
I doubt they renew that.
I mean, the games that EA came out with have been really good. There's just not been a lot of
right.
That's the.
It'd be a shame to not get Fallen Order 2.
Yeah, yeah. There's no way that's not happening. That's
because it's really good. Fallen Order was a great game. The mechanics are good. The story was good. I think it would be a shame if they didn't have it. And to think of like what that would cost EA as a developer to lose is pretty rough, man. But
I've had friends who have worked in that industry, and it seems to me that if that contract is up in 2023 and they are working on Fallen Order 2 now, it's reasonable to believe that will be released before that contract's up.
You gotta think they came out with Fallen Order like within like a 2 year window. Like
yeah, takes about 2 years to do a game from scratch, and so if they use the same engine,
yeah,
and take a lot from that, you know, mm-hmm. that game, they have a base. Yeah, they have a foundation to do a sequel with, even though it could be completely different, map world and map wise.
I gotta say that game was like had its fair share of buggy moments because they kind of pushed it out quick, but I think they patched it relatively early, but even without the patch, it was such an enjoyable game. I didn't linger on the little glitches that were happening in the game. So
yeah,
like,
me either.
I mean,
I didn't notice, frankly.
Well, I mean, like, you know. You guys know I play a lot of Call of Duty Warzone, and there's constant glitches on that. Constant. Like, and they're constantly doing pitches, patches, and everything else. Like, the game is centered around the idea that there's gas slowly coming in, radioactive gas slowly coming in to condense this big circle, this big player, and it circles in the Battle Royale. And there's this thing called a stem shot that shoots adrenaline to you or whatever and brings your health back up. There's this glitch where people are stabbing themselves repeatedly with this stem stick. It doesn't run out and they're just staying in the gas until everybody else dies and they're winning the game. Like it's like shit like that. Like it's just always a little shit like that. But I feel like, and that's got a lot to do with, you know, people finding glitches one, but two, also hacking and stuff like that too, which I'm surprised is a constant problem. But I feel like Fallen Order really nailed it down pretty quick. Because I remember when I first started playing, I felt it was a little hiccupy, but it seemed to pick up later. I still haven't beat it though all the way. I'm on the last bit. Like I haven't beaten the is it the second sister, Eric? Is that who she is? Who is that? Second sister?
Yes.
Yeah. I haven't beaten her final battle with her helmet off moment yet. And I know there's another moment after that too. I've already been spoiled about it, but I was stuck on the dude with the ponytail forever and I beat his ass after the first time after not playing it for like 2 months and losing it like 30 or 40 times. I come back and beat him, just turn it back on. But I've not gone back to fighting that chick yet. I'm scared.
Well, it is very difficult, I won't lie. But the thing with that guy, the ponytail guy that you're talking about, remember me telling you that he sounds quite a bit like Will Ferrell in Step Brothers as the lumberjack?
Yeah.
Lumberjack, come on, hit me.
I'm here to spread my seed.
But anyhow, for all the people who are like, video games aren't for me. Well, I'm sorry. We still got more stuff coming, maybe. But So one of the things that did come up that I think would make a great video game, back to the game thing, is Light of the Jedi, the book. And I let me just say, first off, I am about 40% in so far.
Same.
So, Luke, you have finished it, yes?
Yes.
But with... Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was saying I've got my... I always listen to them multiple times because of all the weird names and all the fast action and stuff just kind of blurs together after a while in audio form. Sometimes you have to go back and listen to it a few times. And there's a lot of action in the book. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, I've noticed I've had to rewind quite a bit because I miss little details. So I feel you there.
I really enjoyed the book overall. I feel like I'll enjoy it more on a second listen. I almost wonder if I missed like an hour or something, like this is like, you know, or maybe I just spaced out and just completely missed something, but like some things happened. I was like, when did that happen? And it was anyways, but overall the story itself is really good. I like the choice to use Charles Soule. I think it's Soule, actually. I keep saying Soule, but I think it's Soule. To bring this into the world was a perfect choice. He tells a very fine story. He lays out groundwork very well, and there's a few times where like he takes like a moment to like input like a quote from like a random part in like the movies, like he uses them, like it's like, okay, all right, I see you, Charles. But but like besides that, that was the only annoying part. But like besides that, but I think they all do that, all the writers, there's always some little thing into it. I did notice from the very beginning, in the very beginning of the book, I got some hints of some parts of elements of a Darth Bane from the very beginning of it, with the like you've been like Dallas. I know you were a little bit farther behind Eric than I was than Eric. But was it? Did you get to the part where all the Jedi show up?
Yeah. I was gonna comment. I like how it is comic book style. I know Charles has done comic books, but like how they do the perspectives, like in those first few chapters, like the countdown of impact. And I'm not giving anything away because from what I've read up to this point, you know, I haven't given anything away by saying that because it's the first chapter is like two hours till impact or something like that.
But you got to the, I'm trying, Eric, what's the, I'm about it. I forget the names. What is the head lady Jedi's name? Do you remember?
Oh, dang. And of course you would ask,
does it start with a K?
Is it her first name is Avar? Is that right? Hang on, I'm gonna look this up because
it's like Cree or Key or something like
that. Dude, these names too are like
Now I feel like an idiot for not having it at the.
Well, they're not easy to remember because they're so different.
Hang on, now we just look. They're stupid. Almost like two different. So I don't sound like idiots.
Oh, okay.
But keep talking.
That's one of the things about like reading it. Over audio is I have to keep like rewinding. Okay, wait, who's this? And like, okay, who are they? Like, which kind of Jedi are they? You know what I mean? Right. Like it's really awesome. The book I'm enjoying the book, but Luke's right. Like a couple trips through this book is going to take to get all this stuff down.
Well, and the thing that's cool about it, I do enjoy
Avar Chris.
Yeah, I was close. Right. Yeah. But I do enjoy the story, and I'm glad I'm reading it.
Yeah.
But even with reading it, okay, the names are a lot, and not in a bad way.
Oh, okay.
They're very Star Warsy, you know?
Yeah.
But it is still a lot to keep track of, and even while I'm reading it, there's been a couple of times I'm like, wait a minute, who is that? And I got to back up a little bit and remember, okay, this name is this character. And, you know, because without a visual reference, it's a little tougher. And I'm just going to be honest. I'm terrible with names in general. Okay. Oh, yeah. And
the worst.
Oh, just same.
When you take a visual off of it, away from it, then it's even tougher for me to remember. And, yes, but same. Here's the thing about the book. I'm glad that they're not letting that stop them, because you wouldn't be able to tell this kind of story without doing what they're doing. And the scope of the story is really good. What I'm into so far is really, it's exciting. It's a pretty easy read. It's fun. The characters, like what they do, is relatable. It's, I feel like it's got a lot of potential. I am eagerly looking forward to finishing the book. And with zero spoilers, I don't want to spoil it for anybody. Give it a read. If you like Jedi, read this thing.
Yeah.
It's really cool to see the Jedi doing things before the dogma, before the, like, a rigid set of religious rules change what they do.
That's one concept that they've really, that I feel like is really being fleshed out in this story that I like, because it gives you a contrast for where the Jedi had kind of gone wrong in the prequels. Like, they're definitely trying to say, hey, this is how it should have been, but this is where they ended up.
Well, and let's face it, in real life, you know, the best of intentions, everybody is always...
Yeah.
The ideal is where you start, and somehow, in some way, things just have a way of turning into something you didn't expect it to turn into. And I think we can think of a million recent developments that would lend itself to that. And it's just, it's a cool read, and it's not crushing you over the head. It's, I know there's, I've talked to several people, which, and it always does kind of surprise me still when I hear it, when they complain about, like, the sequel trilogy having too much, like, wokeness in it. I made air quotes there for people who can see that, little too preachy and hitting you over the head with their SJW message, if you will. I think that's a bit unfair, personally, but I find that, okay, let me just tell you from my own perspective, I do think that there are certain things where outrage and all of that stuff can go too far. You're looking for something to be mad about. That's my perspective on it, okay? However, I don't feel like with the movies and stuff, I don't feel like there's anything that's been heavy-handed that hasn't been around in Star Wars before now. And it's kind of like with Rage Against the Machine, people of recently saying, oh, well, if you're going to be all political, I am done listening to your music. And it's like, well, what machine did you think we were raging against? The dishwasher? It's one of those things where it's been there the whole time. And so with this, there's nothing that's heavy handed. It's just, everything is serving the story. The story isn't trying to be, it's not trying to be a metaphor for something else necessarily. It's just a great story. And I suspect that as I get to know the characters more, the more excited I'll be to learn about each individual one.
Here's the thing. George Lucas was the one that was very direct with saying that his relation was about specific moments in our history and bringing in the stars. So, I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like, it was his reference. So, he was way more quote unquote woke than the current ones are.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like everybody always wants to point, I think, to Rian Johnson one specifically because of what's going on in that. But like, it's about the spark of hope, and it's about not being cruel. It's about a lot of things like that. And it's just, I don't know. Is it because women are being powerful? Is that what the wokeness part of it is usually from people?
Yeah, it's just them being dicks.
Yeah, douche rockets.
Did you
when I'm reading this book, I can't help but think of that moment in A New Hope where Alec Guinness as Obi-Wan Kenobi leans back telling Luke about the Jedi.
Yeah.
They were the peacekeepers of the galaxy. And he kind of leans back with that really like philosophical look on his face. Like, reading this book, even though I'm not, you know, I'm 7 chapters in, I'm just like, this is exactly what George was showing with that line and that of dialogue in A New Hope. He's saying, hey, because when you watch the prequels, you have the feeling that Obi-Wan Kenobi believes that's who they are, but yeah. They're really not. But they believe that's who they are. And it's nice to see that contrast so far in the book.
They're in love with the idea of the greatness of the Jedi.
Yeah, and these guys are the greatness of the Jedi, these new characters. That's what I've loved seeing.
You can see it like in the very beginning of the book when there's a problem that comes up. And I mean, it's been, I'm not going to talk about the problem, but like there's a problem comes up and they say, oh, the Jedi are coming. Everybody's like, oh my God, the Jedi are coming. You know, like thank Jesus. You know what I mean?
Like rock stars are showing up to save us. It's the UN. It's the Red Cross. It's the, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. They even said, the idea that the Jedi are coming from literally, you know, light years away, that gives us one thing. And the one word is hope. You know what I mean? That's what they strive to be. And instead of, and I mean, there's even mentioned somewhere along the way about like, they can't be a, you know, what they became. So it's good shit.
So yeah, definitely check the book out. It is 100% worth a look. And I'm very happy that I'm reading it. I'm trying to take big runs at it whenever I can. Well,
we're bugging you because we want to talk about a review like we used to do in the old days.
So, well, let me ask you guys this while the conversation is sort of swerving here. Something that I heard a friend of mine talk about when they were talking about the notion, okay, they're talking about the Mandalorian and the final episode of season 2 and the sequel trilogy, and they were one of the ones who were like the wokeness of the sequel trilogy, and their take on Luke Skywalker saying that talent without training is nothing was a dig at Rey specifically, and that Lucasfilm is trying to distance themselves from the sequel trilogy.
And
I'm like, I got to be honest with you. I feel like that's a swing and a miss. If you want to,
does your rotator cuff hurt from being dislocated from your shoulder so hard?
If you want to believe that, I mean, I guess, but it always cracks me up to think about. And again, it's not just about the money. Okay, but those movies made them a tremendous amount of money.
Yeah.
There's very little about the movies that them, from a business standpoint, that they're unhappy about. I feel pretty confident saying that. But what do you guys think?
It's very easy to see the transition from the Luke Skywalker we see in The Mandalorian, who is growing to his own, becoming confident in his abilities and all that stuff. And then the Luke Skywalker that we see, you know, 30 years after that, like that transition makes sense when there's great tragedy. So like to think that his perspective wouldn't change from that point is pretty short-sighted. Whenever people make that argument, I'm always like, do you not realize how long a period of time 30 years is? It's a long time.
Huge miss on their part. Huge miss.
A lot of shit happens in 30 years.
People never change. No life experience affects them in any way ever.
Luke Skywalker would never turn his back. Like, you know, maybe if he caused a whole bunch of people to die, maybe. You know, people that were specifically looking to him to lead to protect them. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of things that could happen. Not to mention potentially be the reason why his nephew turned to the dark side. There's a lot of baggage there.
I think they get caught up in the fact that this is not this is a fantasy story, and don't think about what makes it great is it does have aspects that mirror real life. Characters are boring if they never grow or develop over time. If you're going to show them decades later, they're going to be different. And also, like, for people who don't like The Last Jedi, I just think it's a great inability to accept the fact that Luke became Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah.
And he sacrificed himself just as old Ben did in A New Hope, just in a different way. And frankly, a more baller-ass, badass way, man.
Pretty badass way.
If you aren't accepting of the fact that he's not doing what he's doing at the end of Mandalorian season 2, like, I felt like it was awesome being in a television show because it was 2 minutes, if that. It was, like, that's it all I needed.
Cool. It was cool.
It was just cool. And in big screen, on a cinema, like, too many times, it would have got boring.
No, here's the truth.
Wouldn't have been as special.
I don't think I'd ever get sick of seeing Luke Skywalker kick ass, number one. But what I want to say is it we would be lying if we would say that we didn't all want to see that. Obviously, we all lost our shit over it. And that's fine. But it's not an indictment against what else happened later. If Luke Skywalker had stayed the exact same golly gosh darn farm boy he was in episode 4, except for, and it didn't progress to the guy he was in episode 6, would you be happy about that? Like, that's progression. Yeah. Like, that's even way less time, and he got way more powerful in that time. What I mean? Like, it's just like we have to always fit our opinions into the narratives of the stories that we are not writing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like. And I know there's been fan casting that's happened and stuff, you know, like with Rosario Dawson and stuff like that and some other things. But, like, that's about the extent of the power that people should have. And I know Disney kind of folds a lot more on that than George Lucas ever would have. But it's – I don't know. It's just I don't understand why it has to be some kind of conspiracy theory bullshit. And – you know, people are kind of mad at Mark Hamill because he was very happy with the way people received that version of Luke in The Mandalorian, and he shared people's reactions, and he did his little tweets and whatever else, and people are like, oh no, you're sharing the opinions of the Phantom Menace and whatever else. Like, he even fucking knows, you know what I mean? Like, and if he does, it's not to the extent that what you think it is. And let him be happy too. If he's perfectly allowed to not like what happened to the Last Jedi, he's allowed to. So are you. Yeah. We're allowed to love it. Yeah. It's just easy. People are dumb.
Amen.
There's some definite truth in that.
Sorry.
That's all right, man.
Oh God.
Yeah. But I want to say, though, overall, this book is great, and I'm looking forward to Claudia Gray's follow-up. That's going to be next month. I think that's, like we said before, a perfect 1-2 punch. I believe there's a couple comics coming out, and I think a graphic novel like in between now and then, I think. I'm not 100% sure. The only ones I cared about was Charles Sewell and Claudia Gray's, and we'll go from there, see what else is good. But do you think that I can't remember if they said or not, but did they at one point say that Charles is going to be writing multiple of these books?
That I cannot remember. And as you were saying, like, forming the question, I'm like, oh man, come on, Eric, think. I just don't remember.
I wonder if I heard it. They're giving Zahn like 25 Thrawn books to write, but I mean, I hope they give us some more. And some of Charles them Soul. Have
not been good.
Yeah, some have been pretty subpar, but it's I don't know. I'm looking forward to actually getting through the review process of it with you guys and like really talk about the story and stuff like that and the characters in it. There's lots of really cool Jedi in this story and other characters too. It's not just about the Jedi. There's a lot of stuff going on, and I think that's all I have to say about that.
Well, there you go. Hopefully, like in 2 weeks' time, I can have the book done, and we can do a full dive into it. But read it, people, and tell us what you think. Tell us how wrong we are or how right we are. Whatever floats your boat.
This book was horrible, XYZ.
But
there was one final other bit of news. I guess it's kind of like rumor news until we got some hard evidence on it. Our buddies Corey and Noah it's Kessel Run Transmissions, right?
Correct.
I want to get it right because it's been all over the place. Sorry, guys. they have been saying, they have been sources forever saying there's going to be a Rebel sequel, like an animated sequel, basically about the Ahsoka, Sabine finding Ezra and Thrawn arc, whatever. And but then we got Thrawn mentioned in The Mandalorian by Ahsoka, and people instantly were like, oh, does that mean she's got to be looking for Ezra? You know, I think I'll show that in live action. Oh, Ahsoka's getting her own show. What's going on here? Well, apparently they're hearing now that the Rebels cartoon that was, I guess, quite a bit of ways into production is now being transferred into live action. And I believe it, I guess, but the Ahsoka series they're coming out with. And they're also saying that it's going to feature Temuera Morrison playing Rex, and Sabine's going to be in it. And which means there's going to be, we already know Thrawn's going to be around. And so of course they're going to have Ezra too. I think that's a smart decision. I love Rebels. Don't get me wrong. I love Rebels, but I think it's a great opportunity to get some more of the animated characters into the actual Star Wars live action universe. I think that's a solid movie. If that's how it happens, I think that's a great idea.
Well, yeah, live action is what will keep Disney Plus viable. I mean, they can have animated shows and they'll do well, but what's going to keep the subscribers hammering away is live action stuff. And obviously for us, our main thing is Star Wars. We're all going to like the Marvel stuff and everything else, but Star Wars is where it's at. And I think that if you have an opportunity to do something cool like that in live action, more power to you. Now, I don't know what it'll cost, but I guess how hard is it to eat? Like if they, let's say they've spent a ton of money on animation and already have it, a good chunk of it, then you're obviously just losing it. But if all the money was spent on development and writing and all that, then it's not so bad. You just translate it into live action and off you go. And I mean, even if you can afford to just say, hey, we're using this as our director template. We've animated this stuff. Well, this is what we want to
like a storyboard. Yeah, I was just going to say they could even use the animation they've done as storyboards.
Yeah.
And they could use that for the CGI stuff too. If like they just want to incorporate live action shots and then use that as overlay. And then the cost of the money they've already spent to develop that, what is it called for the Mandalorian, that set with the
volume
screens? The volume, yeah. So I'd imagine like that has really changed their thinking towards live action Star Wars, at least.
Oh, here's sure. The thing. The Disney Plus is doing leaps and bounds more than what they thought it was going to be doing, like way high. And The Mandalorian is like, it's got to be like 75% of the reason why. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's a huge, huge hit. And once they saw how huge it actually was and how that carried in the season two, I can see them back. Like, we got to keep this fucking live action train a moving, boys. Like, whatever, what we got to do? You got some other, oh, animated? That Clone Wars thing did really good. Yes, that was surprisingly really good. But, like, here was the Clone Wars. Mandalorian was like, you know what I mean? No matter how much we loved it, because it was excellent, some of the best Star Wars we've seen, it's going to reach. What 5% of the audience compared to what The Mandalorian is probably, you know what I mean? Like it's, well, I don't know, man. I think
The Mandalorian has taught that it will get the casuals. So live action Star Wars works because it will get the casuals. And I think they're banking on that.
And that's the thing too, that I can't possibly stress enough is that when it comes to, like when they talk, like when the people arguing that the Mandalorian is intentionally making digs at the sequel trilogy and all this stuff, and it's all for the fans. They did this for the fans. It's all the fan service and fans. The fact that good Star Wars content is being made that appeals to existing fans is awesome. But what they need is people who are the casuals to get on board with it. That's where their money comes from. Do the hardcores make them money? Of course they do. But it's going to be way more when the casuals get into it. And that's just the bottom line. And that's why a publishing initiative is never going to have the same kind of reach as live action anything. It's just that's how it is. Because typically, you're not going to have casuals getting way into the books. If they if they do, they're going to become not casuals anymore. But you'll... And I realize that all seems very simplistic to say, but it is the case that they need the average Joe to fall in love with this stuff and spend money on it. That's what makes them money. Otherwise, the EU could have just kept being the thing and they could have kept going with it. And there, it doesn't have to go. They don't have to be two separate things.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like making all the like original hardcore fans happy and having new people buying into it and being equally happy, they don't have to be opposite ends. And I think that like the second season of The Mandalorian is a good example of that. And I know we've said it before, but I'll say it again. The way they did that is a masterclass in how to use events that appeal to the bigger nerd without alienating the people who don't know, and also making it not necessary to know. The people who didn't know who Ahsoka was already and haven't gone to explore more about her story arc are still crazy in love with that episode she was in of The Mandalorian. It's just all works out. And man, you want to talk about figuring out how to work that. They did it. And I think that that's a formula that people would do well to keep in mind when they're trying to create content.
Yeah. Thankfully the quality was sky high on The Mandalorian. That's really helped us push that forward.
Oh yeah. I think that's critical in this particular instance, but
yeah, they could not afford to cheap out on that aspect.
No. And you know, it's crazy to think, man, I think I told you guys, Luke Metz and I were talking about when they announced that when Disney bought Lucasfilm and that there was going to be live action TV, did you ever think in a million years that it would ever be close to this good?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I didn't either.
I thought it'd be cheap like Star Trek cheap, you know?
Yeah. I knew I knew it would be decent. I didn't think it'd be movie quality.
Right. You know? Yeah, exactly. I thought it would be like, did you guys ever watch the show Once Upon a Time?
I've seen an episode
of it. The TV show. It was really cool there for a while, and then it got way out of hand for me. The premise of it was unique, and once it hit the season where they introduced like Elsa and the whatever
that was was on ABC, right?
Yeah, whatever existing, or was it CBS, whatever existing character they based Frozen off of, the Frost Queen maybe. Anyway, when they introduced those characters, the show, like, that's when it quit working for me. But, like, in that, the effects were rough and laughable. And I was, like, on paper, you could say, yeah, you know, they had this cool background and all this stuff. But, the green screening and that sort of thing was very obvious. And I was concerned that that's what live action Star Wars would have the potential to look like.
And it very well could have if they didn't nab Jon Favreau.
Yeah.
Because I guarantee you he was like, listen guys, like if you want me, you know how I do things. I'm going to spend some cash. So let's make this, let's do it. Let's not screw around. Let's actually do it.
They were like, congratulations, Walter. It's a boy. It's from Elf. You're welcome. If you recall, he was the doctor. Anyway, thank you.
I think they knew what they were getting into with Favreau, though, considering if you saw the gallery and it was showing what he had done with Lion King.
Yeah.
And that was a hit for Disney. I mean, it did really well.
Yeah, like $1.4 billion, I think.
Yeah, I mean, so I think they just kind of knew his track record based on what he'd done in the MCU and the money those movies had made.
To the Jungle Book.
Did the Jungle Book and made really good money for what it costs.
Dude, Jon Favreau is amazing. Okay.
He is.
When you think about it. Okay. So think about what he's done like as a director. Tremendous. Yeah. Think about roles he's had as an actor.
Yeah.
Which, Swingers, man.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Swingers. But even think so back to where like he was on Friends for a while.
Yeah. He was great in Friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I love him as Happy in the Iron Man movies and MCU.
Yeah, well, and he was
seen Couples Retreat with him in it. I'd die in that movie with him in it.
He was Eric the Clown in Seinfeld.
Yeah.
That was great. Right. It's hard to believe that that's Favreau.
Yeah.
And speaking of TV, man, and we can wrap it up here in a minute. I don't have anything Star Warsy to talk about. If you guys haven't been watching Cobra Kai, get on it because it is delightfully ridiculous and
so good.
I am in love with that show. I finished the third season, you know, like a couple weeks ago. And okay, first of all, William Zabka is amazing in it. I'm so happy for him and what this has done for his career, but also just his character.
Is that Johnny?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know his name.
Yeah, so good. But when you want to talk about like reminiscing and nostalgia, there is an episode in this season three. I want to say it's episode 5 that is like the medicine for the soul. Okay, if you were into the Karate Kid films when you were young at all, you watch this and you see this episode where he travels to Japan, okay?
Uh-huh.
Everything that happens in that episode is heart-wrenchingly beautiful. And the way they worked it into the story was so well done and so... I don't know. It's just very good, man. And there are some serious feel good, like good conquers all Star Warsy moments in it that it just makes
talking
me very
about
happy.
People being 30 years older and growing and being different. You know, mm-hmm. the dude he beats in the fight to the death in the sequel, mm-hmm. you know, that he ends up like learning something new from him. That was so cool, man. It's, and beautiful.
It is.
Also like just the nostalgia of that film. And they work the clips from the movies perfectly into that show.
Yeah. It's nice to have the flashbacks to the past.
Man. Yes.
It's very good. It's so good. But dude,
that was my favorite episode of the season, hands down.
It's excellent. But dude, I love William Zabka. He is the deal, man. I love that guy. I thought he was as cool as can be whenever I was a kid and watching The Karate Kid. It's like such a shame he's bad because he's cool.
And he's blonde, like me. I could be the good guys.
You know, Eric had a black headband everywhere he went after he saw that movie.
Maybe. Oh,
and one more show I like to suggest, definitely. You do not watch us around children, but it's very, very good, is Lovecraft Country on HBO.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet.
Very good. Like exceptionally good. There is definitely some it's some Game of Thrones level sex scenes in it.
Sweet.
But Eric, as you like to say, the violence in it is very good. the story itself is exceptional. I was surprised how much I liked it, and then all of a sudden some shit will happen. You're like, whoa, like it'll be like sometimes it gets to like the Boys level of graphic.
Oh wow.
Oh yeah. Sweet.
Yeah
you had me at sex and violence, but now you're saying it's Boys level violence. Okay, I'm in.
Plus the story itself is really good.
So. Amanda recently got me watching Schitt's Creek. It's excellent.
I need to start that.
It's
the
very
first,
good.
7 eps of that. I need to get back onto it.
It's very good.
Yeah.
I started Ozark, and I'd never done that with Jason Bateman.
Watch the first
show.
Season. The first season was really good.
So good. I've been all through all three. They got another one coming out soon.
By the way, that Lovecraft Country, it's executive produced by J.J. Abrams and Jordan Peele. If that gives you
really.
Hey, I've heard of them both.
Yeah.
But Well, guys, there we go, man. Everything that's fit to say about Star Wars right now, I guess. And we, guys, we're kicking around some ideas on like getting back into the rewatches and stuff. We're just we want to make sure we do the right, pick the right thing for us, and we're just enjoying sort of freewheeling on some of these and being able to like take off on like deeper tangents without the shows having to be 20 hours long. So we want you guys to enjoy it too. But thanks for sticking around, and thanks for listening, and thanks for getting behind what we do, man. We see new patrons popping up like weekly, which is really cool. Yeah. It means a ton to us. Thank you so, so much. And, you know, I guess that means people are liking what they do. But speaking of patrons on Patreon, you want to find out what you're missing? Check out patreon.com/thebadmotivators. I have a great time making shows for that, and I know you guys do too.
Nope,
they're just all over the place. People are digging it, and there's a cool little community going on with it. So be sure to check it out. There's something for everybody. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I'm finding we happen to interact with some people who don't interact on Twitter through our Patreon. So we appreciate you guys reaching out to us and messaging us and stuff. And I Eric, you just did a new That's Metal, and I dropped Taking Number Two recently,
and
I'm recapped Star Trek Disco.
Yeah, and I'm dropping the new episode of NBA's Hit List tomorrow. So on Wednesday, I'll be out for a day.
But, oh,
yeah.
Sweet.
Cool. So yeah, man, there it is. And check that out. Check out TeePublic and Redbubble to get some dope Bad Motivators gear. And follow the show on Twitter at @bad_motivators. Follow me on Twitter at TaylorSwift13 and Luke.
At Luke Cruiser.
And Dallas.
At Tarkin Tangents.
Sweet, man. Well, hey, I think Taylor Swift is awesome. And until next week, we are out of here.
Goodbye.
Later.
The Bad Motivators.